Well, Father, thank you for what you've done thus far, setting your people free. Thank you, Father God, for allowing us to sit in your presence one more time, to feed from your table. Thank you, Father God, for coming into this church, ministering to your people, setting the captives free. We love you, Father God, and we thank you for your love that you spread abroad to us tonight. We thank you, Father God, that you go deep down into our souls and you rip out everything that's not of you. And then you send us forth to minister to the depraved, the lost, the dying. And we take your peace with us and we freely give it away. And Father, we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. We talked this morning about overcoming, and God talks about over-the-top overcomers tonight. Judging others is in Luke 6:37. Luke 6:37 says, "Judge not, and you will not be judged. Condemn not, and you will not be condemned. Forgive, and you will be forgiven. Give, and it will be given back to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over, will be put into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured back to you. Judge not, lest ye be judged." What do you want God to give to you? Then you need to give to others first. We need to quit judging one another. We need to stop and look at other people through the eyes of Christ and see them as Jesus sees them. You know not what's going on in somebody's life. You just don't know because you're not living that life. And we need to quit looking at people and judging, thinking we know what they're going through, and we really don't. We need to be seeking God's face and say, "God, let me see them as you see them." And we need to be praying for people, not judging. I don't know, but all of a sudden, I just get really tired of people judging other people when you yourself have problems too. All right, then in verse 39 is, "He also told them a parable. Can a blind man lead a blind man? Will not both fall into a pit? A disciple is not above his teacher, but everyone, when he is fully trained, will be like his teacher." Be careful who teaches you. And you know, if we follow Christ, we'll become just like Christ. And we won't have to be concerned about where we're going to end up at, because Jesus ended up in heaven. And this is where we will end up one day, seated at the right hand. Well, no, we'll be just seated with Jesus in heaven. Sorry, I said something wrong. The problem is, saints of God, that we don't have enough true teachers in the world. There's not enough true men and women out there who are speaking the truth. Church has become a place where you just make money. Not all churches now. But church is just a place where people make money, have big houses, big cars, and there's nothing wrong with that if you're doing it the right way. But we all know that there's many out there who are bilking the people just so they could have more money to spend upon themselves. All right, then in verse 41, it says, "Why do you see the speck that is in your brother's eye, but do not notice the log that is in your own eye?" See that? How can you say to your brother, "Brother, let me take out the speck that is in your eye," when you yourself did not see the log that is in your own eye? You hypocrite, first take the log out of your own eye, and then you will see clearly to take out the speck that is in your brother's eye. Don't you get tired of watching people who are in sin going around judging somebody else's sin? You know, God does not like that at all. Verse 43 says, for no good tree bears bad fruit. Now, a good tree will not bear bad fruit. Nor, again, does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorn bushes, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good, and the evil presence out of his heart, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. How many of you know that's true? Listen to what you're saying. Out of the, that's down in your heart. Somebody was saying something to me one day, and God said they're speaking from the very depth of their heart. This is what they really feel about you. And then one other time, somebody else was coming against me, and God said, they're speaking to you out of hurt. Their heart is hurting. Love that person. So you have to be hearing God's voice. You have to hear how God hears, and then act accordingly. Somebody might really come against you really bad, but what they're coming from is they've been hurt very deeply, and that's what they're speaking through is the hurt. Now, somebody else might have all their life not liked you. And so when they're coming at you, they're really speaking from the abundance of their heart. What has been buried down in that heart is finally coming out, and the truth is being spoken. You know, think about this when people come at you, and let God tell you where they're coming from. Then verse 46 says, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and not do what I tell you? Everyone who comes to me and hears my words and does them, I will show you what he is like. He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundations on the rock. And when a flood arose, the stream broke against that house and could not shake it because it had been well built. But the one who hears and does not do them is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. When the stream broke against it, immediately it fell, and the ruin of that house was great. If you build your life on the foundation of love in Christ, when the storms of life beat at you like you think they'll never stop, you're not going to fall. You're going to stay strong. You're going to feel weak, but God's when you're weak, that's when you're strong. So you have to have your house built on the rock. The true rock, which is Jesus. Because I'm going to tell you, the storms are going to come, and they're going to come, and they're going to come, and they're going to come. And those of you who have been in Christ for a long time, you know that's the truth. And sometimes you cry out, God, why? It's because you're built on the strong rock. And the enemy's trying to get you off of that rock. But you're going to stay the course, right? And you are an overcomer, right? Now, this is what God's speaking. I am taking all my overcomers over the top in this brand new era or the year. There is absolutely nothing to go back for this brand new year holds exactly that, brand new adventures. These adventures are things you have not accomplished before. These brand new things are things that are spoken of in my word, but have not been brought forth into fruition. But all of that is changing, even as we speak. All things are brand new, and all things are being brought out of obscurity into my marvelous light. I don't know about you, but some of the things that's being brought out, I don't like. It's not that I'm doing anything wrong, but the enemy is buffeting and buffeting. These are things we've never had to encounter. This hardness that we're in, the darkness that we're suffering right now, has not been there before, but it's there right now. You're being tested at the very core. We all are being tested at the very core of our being. God said, I have promised that when this day shines forth, it will shine forth like the noonday sun, and it shall sparkle with all of my brilliance. In this new dispensation of time, all the greater works will be accomplished. For you see, it must all be accomplished for my son to return for the second time and take his bride on home to be with him. I was listening to Rodney Howard Brown the other day, and you know, we're we're closer than we think to the second coming of Jesus. He didn't more or less say that, but as I was listening to what he was saying. And then, you know, God told me back in 77 when I was first born again, they were working in the days of Noah. Now, somebody else wrote an article the other day, and they said, because we're working in the days of Noah, darkness is covering the earth. And isn't that what happened in the days of Noah? And so God told me way back in 77, that's what we're working in the days have been getting darker and darker ever since, or the years, I should say, ever since then. So how close are we to the closing of the ark door? See what I'm saying? We're just about there. And God is gathering in his sheep. And he's separating us from the chaff. And he wants us to be ones that enter into that ark and not be left behind. He doesn't want us to be beating on the ark door as God takes it away and the floods come. Isn't that what God spoke to us? He said, when the river, if you don't get in now, when the river rises, you're not going to be able to get in. And I equate that to the ark. Because Noah was preaching to the people, tell them to get it together, and they wouldn't. And then once God said it's time to close the door, it was too late to come in. And it says they beat on the ark, right, wanting to get in, and they couldn't. All of you, where are we at? No stone? No stone shall be left unturned in this new dispensation of time. I know that at this given moment you cannot for one instant comprehend what I am saying, but you shall. Believe me, you shall. And when that day comes, you will shake your head in amazement at what you did not understand in my word and what I spoke to you. How many already you're shaking your head saying, God, I didn't understand what you were saying. I didn't even see that before. We're already in that dispensation of time. In this new dispensation of time, nothing, and I mean absolutely nothing, will matter to you except kingdom business. I want each and every one of you to be about my kingdom business as you step over the top into the new dispensation of time. All of you who have been lingering around the fires of sin and temptation, I am pulling you out of that space of destruction. Even as I speak the words right now, receive your total freedom from that this outrageous sin of temptation. We're all tempted in some way, shape, or form every day. And God is saying, quit giving into those temptations. We think, well, this isn't really a bad temptation, but every temptation is the same. Amen? In God's eyes. My word tells you that a way was made to be free from all temptations, but so very few have taken it. I think God did a wonderful work within us tonight. And I do believe that we were set free from a lot of things. And I really do believe that you'll find out that all that pain and hurt that you had deep inside, it's not going to be there anymore. I really do believe that God went very down into the very depths of our souls tonight. And he set the captives free. My word tells you that a way was made to be free from all temptations, but so very few have taken it. I implore you this day to take that way right now and be freed from all temptations of the flesh and walk on in total confidence that I am for you and not against you. And the good works I started in you, I am well able to finish. How many of you sometimes you think God can't finish what he started? You get so overwhelmed with life and you feel like, God, you're just not going to be able to finish this works. Yes, he is. Yes, he is. And, you know, you can thank God that I'm not God. I am so tired of the body of Christ not growing up. I'm so tired of the body of Christ still needing their diapers changed. And, you know, it's just, God's talking to us now about being overcomers. We should have been overcomers years ago. But he's still talking to us saying, you're not overcomers yet. And there isn't one of us in this room that temptation, you know, the enemy hasn't brought something into our life. I'm not even going to call it temptations. I'm going to call it trials and tests, you know, trouble. And yeah, we fight, and then finally we sit down and say, you know, I don't know if I can continue on with this race. But we do. We get up. But there is a time. And even Jesus, when he went to the mountain, God showed me he went to the mountain to talk to his Father because he needed to be strengthened. And so don't feel bad if there's times, you know, when you just feel like, I can't make it. Do like Jesus. Climb the mountain. Talk to your Father. Stay there and carry on like a fool if you have to. But come down rejoicing. Amen. Free from all the mess that you carried up the mountain. Don't bring it back down with you. God said, after all, am I not the author and finisher of your lives? Ask yourself that. Is God really the author and finisher of your life? Do you really believe that? I think the way some people act, they don't believe that. You need to test yourself and find out. God said, have I not said in my word that I would lead you by the still waters and I would take you into the high places to be seated with me? Am I a man that I should lie? No, I am not. Therefore, what I have spoken in my word, I am more than able to accomplish. When you go over the top in my presence, you are standing in the very essence of who I am, and you have all authority and power of the Godhead at your disposal, just as my son Jesus did. We're going over the top right now, tonight, right? Right now. You're saying, Father God, I'm up here, and so I'm going to go over the top. And I'm going to be just like your son, Jesus. And I'm not going to look back and allow the enemy to ever again pull me down into his cesspools. I'm going to stay free, right? I'm going to stay free. This vessel belongs to God, not to the devil. And you're not going to use this vessel anymore for any reason. You need not cower at the enemy and his evil forces, for I have already made every way of escape, and he can no longer harass and intimidate. Over the top takes you into the very throne room of no more compromise, just total faith in all that I have spoken over your lives. Over the top takes you to a place of understanding of who you truly are in me and what I desire for you to accomplish at this given time. Over the top takes you to a place of understanding of who you really are in me. So how many of you are going over the top right now? You're understanding who you are in Christ Jesus. Amen. You are just 1 centimeter away from going totally and completely over the top into an everlasting covenant with me that I will take you into the throes of all that I have written in your books. You are just 1 centimeter away from going totally and completely over the top into an everlasting covenant with me that will take you into the throes of all that I have written in your books. Some of you aren't even in your books. There's so much in your book that God wants you to accomplish, but some of you aren't even in them. I want you to get into your book tonight. I want you to tell God, I'm over the top, Father. I need to start working what's in my book and doing the great and wonderful works that you've called me to do. When you go totally over the top, you are no longer set puzzled, wondering what is going on in your life and the lives around about you. You will be just like my son Jesus, and you will know all things pertaining to kingdom authority. You know, when I teach you guys, I tell you what you should do and shouldn't do. What you need to do, though, is everything you do, you should be talking to the Holy Spirit. And you need to, if it only do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do, not what you feel like doing. God shares so much about your lives to me, but I don't come to you and say anything because that's not what he wants me to do. He's sharing something about you to me that I can pray about. And then if there's a time that he wants me to talk to you about it, the Holy Spirit will tell you to do so. And you won't destroy anybody. When I see people going and talking to people and their lives are destroyed, not built up, but destroyed, the Holy Spirit wasn't in that. Your flesh was in it. And you thought you had to say it. So you did. And I know I tell you, you go and tell the people the truth, but I said the trees on the way home this morning, I should have said, but only do it when the Holy Spirit leads you to do it. Because you can destroy somebody with the truth as well as you can build them up. All right? Always remember that. The truth is the truth, but if the Holy Spirit's not directing you to tell the truth, then what you do is you be quiet until the opportune time when God says, all right, now they can handle this. Because not everybody can handle the truth, but God will build them up to a place where they can handle the truth. All right? I mean, you know, I know what God uses me to do, but you know, I know why God uses me to do what he does, because he does it with a whole lot of love. And some of you in there say, well, I'm just going to do what she does. No, you can't do what I do. Because you're not in that love walk the way that God has me in there. I've been like this all my life. So it's the love walk, the deepness of the love walk, where God can use you to tell the truth and the people will receive it. Remember this, guys. You're about ready to be put out there on the street. What are you going to do with it? You know, when you go out on the street, and when you two go out on the street Saturdays, what do you do with it? And are you going out there just saying, you got to get saved? You know, are you going out there with the love of Christ? I know you both go with the love of Christ, so I'm trying to get a point across here. You go out there with the love of Christ, and you listen to the Holy Spirit and do what he tells you to do, and things are turned around. We all see many things going on here in the church that we know that's the devil acting out. But, you know, we sit here and we pray and we cover the people because God isn't saying, stop it. Are you listening? He's just saying, cover it. It's not that we don't see it. It's not that we're letting things go on that shouldn't go on. God knows when a person can handle situations in their life. But with me, people just go ahead and say what they want to say. They don't care what they're saying about me. Amen. I mean, that is the truth. I was talking today and it dawned on me what people really do to me and have done to me over my life. And if it wouldn't be for Christ, I'd be dead today. It would have, the things people said to me would have destroyed me. But God has my back. He always said, I have your back. So don't worry about your back. You walk in the Spirit. You do what the Holy Spirit's telling you to do. She's up there telling me, do this, this, this. Yeah, I'm trying to teach you something. But you're supposed to be walking in the Spirit and know when to do it. And I'm sorry, I've seen people say, well, the Holy Spirit told me to do it. No, he didn't, because you devastated the person. So the Holy Spirit didn't tell you to do it. You just did it out of your flesh. Now you want to cover yourself with the Holy Spirit. That doesn't work. Are you listening now?
Yes.
Or, you know, I was reading where somebody was saying that, and this is the truth, that God is now giving mantles to different people. And I remember one day in here he told Barbara that she now has my mantle. But now I want to explain that to you. I still have my mantle, but God is passing my mantle onto other people. What if I would die? Where would my mantle go? And see, you're not walking in my gifting. You're walking in your own gifting, but it's the same giftings I'm walking in. And see, now if you want to be like me, then quit being prideful. And you know, and walk in love. And then the mantle that God has passed on to you will do the works God wants us to do. All right, let's move on. Over the top brings you into the dispensation of time that my son lived in continually. You're not here and there, but continually. You see, the same theme that followed my son will follow you when you go over the top. You say, what was that theme? I say, miracle after miracle after miracle. Deliverances like you have never seen before. You will have the same power and authority my son has. And when you walk into a room, the enemy will flee because he cannot stand your presence. He must escape at all cost. See that? When you walk into a room, you're going to make a difference in the room. All eyes are going to be upon you, and they're going to wonder what just happened in the room. In this dispensation of over the top, you shall see mass deliverances. And people will be totally and completely set free from all bondages instantly. How many of you are praying that that happens in our services? That, you know, when somebody walks through that door that has a devil, that devil's going to scream and jump out of them. They want to run in a different direction. I've had people say, I just can't come into your church because I can't sit there. See, they're bringing demons with them, and them demons are saying, leave now, because if you don't leave now, I'm going to have to leave this body, and I like this body. You give me a good home. And they'll leave because of that. Not because they don't like us, but because the devil's in them can't stand the anointing. All right? That time is upon you. Will you go over the top tonight and step into that time frame of mass deliverances? Why mass deliverances, you ask? When the world comes into my house, houses of refuge, they bring all of hell with them. Right? And you will not have time for individual deliverances. The works must be accomplished immediately because time, as you know it, is running out, and we must work the works while it is still day. Are you understanding that? You know, I pulled up here, I heard Brother Chris over there, get out, get out. And I said, oh, dear God. we are already on the map. And now they carried it outside the church. You know? And I said, Holy Spirit, cover that. Whatever that's going on, please cover it. Don't let anybody else hear it. No, yeah, I don't care if you're outside, where you're at. They got to come out, right? But, you know, God just lets us be seen and heard and talked about, right? You go to that Lighthouse Church, I sure do, and I love it. It should be your reply. That devil has no place in there, right? Where am I at? If you could just see past your insecurities this day, God is saying this, you would see into the spirit realm, and you would see my son sitting at my right hand cheering you on. You would walk under an open heaven continually. I know you have listened while I declared the heavens were open over you, but you have not stepped into the full knowledge of that statement. We haven't. I just realized that a year ago. God, I didn't even understand what you were saying. You kept saying you were under an open heaven. That means everything's possible. Everything is possible. All healings are possible. All deliverance, everything is possible under an open heaven. But when it becomes a reality to you, you know, the open heaven, you will walk in the supernatural and you acknowledge your greater works, and you will no longer be slaves to unrighteousness, but you will be the epitome of righteousness. My son Jesus had the same decisions to make that you have, and he chose to follow righteousness and accomplish all the works that were set before him. Going over the top means stepping into your calling and accomplishing your calling. Do you hear me? Over the top means stepping into your calling and accomplishing your calling, fulfilling all that is written in your book of life. So how many of you in here tonight, you know that you know that you know that you're stepping over the top tonight? And that you're stepping into your calling. And you know, I'm watching Sister Barbara. Her words that God spoke over her about a glow, I'm watching them come to fruition. And I'm excited that she stayed in there when she really wanted to quit. You know? And she didn't, you know, she learned to keep her mouth shut and just listen. And now God is doing great and powerful things. Now, I've been watching that, so I know that because she keeps me informed. But I don't know what's going on in your life. Are you really just sticking in there no matter what the devil's doing? Are you sticking in there no matter how many lies he's telling about you? And right now, what the enemy's doing is he's trying to discredit each one of you. Don't allow him to do that. Don't allow you. You'll get angry, but what you have to do is get over it. You can't carry that anger. You have to get over it. And you know, sometimes you get discouraged. You have to get over discouragement too. These are the things that's right now on the plate of the enemy, trying to take you out of your calling before you get totally into it. And you know, I remember that Kenneth Hagin, he'd been in the ministry for 30 years, had his church, great big church, and one day him and God were talking, and God said, "You haven't even started your ministry yet. You only thing you've done is touch the hem of the garment of your ministry." And he'd been doing miracles and everything else. I mean, he just was doing miracles, wrote books, had schools and everything else. But God said, "You haven't even started." And I'm saying to you in here tonight, you haven't even started. You haven't touched nothing in your ministry yet. Like God told Kenneth Hagin, he was training him. But now, at that point, God was really going to, then he started traveling and did all kinds, God used him to do all kinds of miracles. So you all have been in training, and you know, some of you failed your tests miserably. Had to give you a big F. Failure. But you stuck in there, and you kept taking test after test after test. And I'm in that boat, too. All right, but now God said, "You're ready to go over the top." And I'm hearing God said, "You're getting ready to strike out on your own." In other words, you don't have to stay confined to a building. God can now trust you to send you out there and do the mighty works he's called you forth to do. You're going to find out, guys, that the people are going to start coming into the houses of God, and God's going to use you to start ministering to these people, teach them what you know, and then bring them forth. So this is where you're at right now. God said you're in the mega of his of your ministry. He's bringing you into the mega, the largest of your ministry. You're glad I'm not God, because I look at you and I say, "I don't see that." I'm being honest. You know, but God knows all things. Thank God he does. And how many of you are being fought really super bad right now? You're being fought to the very core of your being right now. It's because you're going over the top tonight. You're going into the vastness of your ministry. You're getting ready to really fulfill everything that God's spoken over your life. You know, some of you just been thrust into it, right? You weren't ready, but you were thrust into it, so then you have to be ready. And you're one person isn't the only one that's happened to. Many of you in here, that's happening too. God has thrust you into your ministry because he's saying, "All right, grow up. You're an overcomer. Grow up. I'm ready to use you now." And you know, I was thinking yesterday that God said he was going to fill this church up, and overnight he was going to put us into a new building. We get quite a few people, then we get down to just us. But I also notice one thing: when it's just down to just us, God always does a miracle service like he did tonight. Because it's us that have been paying the price. It's us that he's been training to go forth and do the greater works. It is us, you know, you people, that God is going to use to see, let the world see who he truly is. They know you. They're mocking you and making fun of you. But God, and we are the Philadelphia church, and God, he's going to make them come and those who have mocked you and ridiculed you, he's going to make them come and sit at your feet. So that's every one of you. The people have looked at you with disdain and looked down upon you. He's going to make those people come and say, "I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry I did that to you or thought that about you." We aren't rejoicing in that. What we're rejoicing is the fact that we belong to the Father. And we've been tested in every way you can be tested. And if church is filled up and God has shaken it, out they go. The ones that can't be used, out they go. Fills it up again, shakes it. The ones that can't use, out they go. And then he finally says, "I've shaken for the last time. And now I'm ready to use those who are remaining. You're steadfast and you're true. And you're ready to go over the top. And you're ready to accomplish all that God has called you forth to accomplish." Amen. You see me up here teaching you. Sometimes you ever see me at home, I'm a wreck. I'm a throwing a fit. I'm crying and stomp my feet. Sometimes I don't even want to come to church. Come here and sit down and say, well, here I am. I'm being honest. So if you be honest, you have the same feeling sometimes. And then God shows up. Because I'm back here saying, Holy Spirit, if you don't show up, we might as well go home right now. Because nothing's going to be accomplished. Come on. Some people say, you look like you have fun up there. I do, because it's the Holy Spirit. He's just having a great time because he knows what a fool I acted like for here. I got here, right? And with your flag, and I bet there's times, well, no, don't bet. There's times you walk through the door, you don't even want to be here, but God just has you flag, you're walking in air. Do you understand this, guys? Oh, God, I got to get in my get dressed, get in my car, and travel for an hour to go to church. I'll get home late. God sees all that. You come here and smile at everybody like everything's just so hunky-dory. And then God shows up and changes the whole atmosphere. It's God. When God comes into the house, the devil has to leave. All right, so how many of you are ready to go over the top tonight? God has already blessed us so abundantly tonight, as far as I'm concerned. We could have went home before we even finished praise and worship. I mean, we were just so blessed. But if you want to go over the top tonight, the altar's open for that reason.